Blog Talk Radio.
Collapse over a dispute about us.
austerity measures is demanded by other EU governments. The exchange for supporting Italy's bonds, the EU has told Italy to increase its retirement age. That didn't go over too well.
Yeah, what do they retire at, 35?
Who knows? The Northern League, Mr. Berlusconi's junior coalition partners, opposed the plan. The party leader, Umberto Bossi, declared yesterday, suggested the government could fall over issue and said it was pessimistic about its survival. In Brussels, the European Commission insisted that Mr. Berlusconi must do more to balance his country's budget. Italy still needs to back up Mr. Berlusconi's promise with specific action taken with clear timing, the Commission said. The summit tonight is also intended to agree on ways to boost the financial power of bailout funds meant to underwrite governments in Italy and Spain if they struggle to raise money on international markets. One option is a very specific investment vehicle, a fund that raises money from investors, including wealthy governments and the IMF. Man, these guys, they're going to take this shit. Who the hell is going to accept this?
Eurozone attempts to cut the Greek debt burden also appeared to be making little progress, though the Greek government expressed hopes that the summit will announce the bondholders will lose 50% of their stakes. Sir Merwin King, the governor of the Bank of England, suggested that the EU leaders' emergency measures can buy time but cannot resolve the fundamental threats to European economic stability.
Yeah, they're going on there. They're just not going to. The strong countries are not going to do it. They just say, fuck this. They're trying to pull that shit here, too.
Uh-huh.
And I've got an article that shocked me today.
Well, let's read it.
Yeah, I want to say, I've got to go to get it. One second. The article that knocked my socks off was the Bank of America.
Central bank, Fed's left.
Yeah, check this out. This just makes you crazy. This just makes you crazy to believe this.
Fed lets Bank of America insure multi-trillion-dollar derivative. That's a gambling.
Yeah.
Loss with FDI insurance.
Yeah, now listen to this video. It's about 2 minutes long, but it's amazing.
Federal Reserve now backstopping $75 trillion of Bank of America's derivatives. Keep in mind, first of all, I heard the statistic this morning. J.P. Morgan Chase has $2.2 or $2.7 trillion, between $2 and $3 trillion in assets. The entire gross domestic product of the United States right now is a little under $15 trillion. One bank, $2 trillion, more than $2 trillion. But here's where it gets even weirder. The Bank of America, which is in large part actually owned by a Saudi prince, but the Bank of America has $75 trillion worth of derivatives out there. They're still out there. Wells Fargo has $73 trillion out there. Keep in mind, the GDP of the entire planet is $65 trillion. The GDP of the United States is $15 trillion. Each of these banks has over $70 trillion worth of derivatives, and they are in their investment bank branches, which are not backstopped by the FDIC. And what did they do over the last couple of days? And this is what Bloomberg is talking about. They moved them into their commercial banking arms, since now it's all one bank, since we did away with Glass-Steagall, which is protected by both the FDIC and backstopped by the Fed. So now you and I and the Fed are officially backstopping, as far as we know. And, you know, these are only two of the six banks that own assets equal to 65% of the entire GDP of the United States. But just with these two banks, you and I, via the Fed, are now backstopping $150 trillion worth of bets on bets on bets on bets on bets about mortgages and other things. The entire gross domestic product of our country, $15 trillion, and we're backstopping $150 trillion? Wall Street still has us by the neck. This is amazing. I don't know how to say it other than that. It's amazing. By the way, the next chapter, the...
So just to let you know, it's kind of bad.
Yeah.
So it's really starting to screw it. This one was another one that got that cracked me up today. Governor Krispy Kreme.
Oh yeah.
Krispy Kreme over in New Jersey is laying off 4,000 policemen. This guy's great.
That's a mistake.
Yeah. Governor Chris Christie's budget cuts put 4,000 New Jersey police officers out of a job. In the name of no taxes, Republicans have slashed state budgets across the country, forcing schools to sell advertising space, firefighters to lose their jobs to prison labor, and cities to decriminalize domestic violence in order to save money. In New Jersey, Governor Chris Christie instituted several severe cuts to education funding, public employees' benefits, public sector jobs, while calling his action the day of reckoning. Christie cut $3 billion in his first 2 years, leaving low-income New Jerseyans with half the number of legal aid lawyers, the mental ill without a home after a hospital had to shut down, and thousands of women without health clinics to visit. And those cuts have also left 4,000 New Jersey police officers without a job and left drug-related crime to flourish. In Newark, police no longer respond to motor vehicle accidents without injuries. In Patterson, the police department's narcotics squad was cut in half.
Wow.
In Newark, 162 officers were laid off, Camden 167, and Trenton 104. Statewide, about 4,000 police officers have lost their job in the past 2 years. Said Anthony Wieners, president of the State Police Benevolent Association. There were about 25,900 municipal police officers in New Jersey in 2009 and 2009, according to police statistics. All this advertising we made since the late, all the advancements we made since the late 70s in community policing, getting out into the community and building a trust, are going to be lost, Wieners said. In Little Egg, which is a town, I guess, the police department had to be disbanded, had to disband its drug unit after 11 of the town's 49 cops were laid off. In the 6 months that followed the layoffs, burglaries in the township jumped 61%, assaults rose 22%, and larceny increased 54%. Christie's day of reckoning has fallen hard on low-income New Jerseyans and public servants, but thanks to Christie, the reckoning never reached the state's millionaires. Last year, the state legislature passed a tax on millionaires that would help alleviate Christie's budget cuts. Christie vetoed it twice. In under 2 minutes flat, his argument, tax increase is a failed and responsible policy that will be set our economy further back from recovery. But it's hard to see how this current policy is like doing anything different. So the guy's a piece of crap.
Yep.
A real piece of crap.
Have another Krispy Kreme.
Jerk. And a real, real jerk.
It looks like he eats a box of donuts before he gets to his office.
Yeah. I'm going to play something, too, that really, really was surprised a lot of people. This guy's from MSNBC. Mm-hmm. Dylan Radigan, he just blasted the hell out of the banking industry. And I want to read this. I want to play that in a minute. But there's one more I wanted to go to before I do that. And this one is from the Bay City, Bay Citizen. And it talks about how people are transferring their monies into credit unions from big banks. Right? And this is what people are trying to do. That's what they're advising on Wall Street. Occupy Wall Street, all right, is they're putting monies into, they're advising them putting the community banks into the credit unions, rather. Would you like to read this?
Sure. What's this one? Credit union deposits surge amid Wall Street protests. This article is by, let me see what's by.
It's by, that's not the one. It's by
Aaron Glatz. Glatz.
Yeah. And the Bay Citizen.
Yeah. Allie Penn-Ellis considered herself part of the Occupy Wall Street movement, but on this Monday afternoon, the 21-year-old cashier for the San Francisco Soup Company isn't camping out in front of the Federal Reserve. She's been sitting inside the Pat Filelco Credit Union's office on 2nd and Mission Streets, opening a checking account, a savings account, and a certificate of deposit. Within the week, Penella said she plans to close her account at Chase. I'd rather invest my time, energy, money in a community institution rather than a large bank, she said. Penelas is one of an increasing number of customers making the switch. Bay Area credit unions report hundreds of consumers have begun to move the money, their money. They say they are angry about the government's bailout of Wall Street and frustrated with plans by major banks to begin charging a monthly fee for debit card transactions. Pinella said five of her friends are also planning to move their accounts. It is not just a matter of fees. Credit unions and banks have two different models, said Brett Martinez, the president and CEO of Redwood Credit Union, which has 18 branches in San Francisco and the North Bay. Unlike banks, which try to make as much money as possible from their customers and give it to the shareholders, credit unions are nonprofit organizations that return profits to their members in the form of better rates on loans and deposits, Martinez said. He said 160 depositors had switched from Bank of America to Redwood Credit Union since October 5th and cited the new monthly debit card fee. A spokeswoman from Patelco, which has 40 branches throughout the Northern California, said the credit union has seen the number of new accounts increase from 78 in a day to 118 in a day by October. A representative of San Francisco Federal Credit Union with three branches in the city reported a more modest increase in new accounts, but industry observers say there is more to come. This is the tip of the iceberg, said Henry Kurtman, spokesman for the California Credit Union League. A Facebook page naming November 5th Bank Transfer Day has attracted more than 48,000 supporters. Members of the Occupy Wall Street movement are supporting the plan. November 5th is the date when Englishman Guy Fawkes plotted to blow up Parliament. Yeah. Please to remember the 5th of November, Guy Fawkes Day. Some of the Occupy Wall Street protesters have worn masks of Fawkes faces. In interviews, representatives of the banking industry were dismissive of the plan to switch credit unions. Beth Mills, spokesman for the California Bankers Association, called it misguided. Mills insisted that banks decided to add the new fees not out of greed. Oh, yeah, right, but because of what she described as costly new regulations passed by Congress. $5 a month is probably less than you pay every day for coffee. $60 a year is less than most people spend in a month for cable. Betty Rice, as a spokesman for Bank of America, predicted customers would stay with Bank of America even after the new debit card fee takes effect next year because of the convenience that large banks offer, from plentiful ATMs to online banking. But credit union counters that offer those services too and are able to do so without fees because they are not for profit. Most credit unions, including Redwood and Petalco, are part of a national web network in which members are not charged monthly debit card fees and can use any of the 28,000 credit union or 7-Eleven ATMs nationwide free of charge, 7-Eleven. This is the biggest grassroots reaction that we've seen from the financial crisis yet, said Ian Strodel-Durer, a senior fellow at the New America Foundation, a nonpartisan public policy institute. A lot of people have been waiting for something and wondering why something like this hasn't happened sooner, she said.
So move your stuff November 5th. Move it all to your local credit union.
Well, we're lucky we have small regional banks here. Well, we don't have any credit unions that are close to our town. It would be 45 minutes away.
Well, just thought that would be an interesting thing
to say. But certainly if you're living in a city, it would be, you know, where you have a multitude of resources available, you should do that. I would.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to try to find that, that video, that clip I wanted to play. Here it is. This one I want you to hear. This is so good. You know what? Another thing that was really surprising to hear.
What's that?
Anonymous sent out a warning to New York Police Department. Right?
On behalf of Occupy, let's read that.
Yeah, it's interesting, guys. I'm gonna play this, but I wondered. You gotta wonder why they're allowing those guys.
Hello, citizens of the world. Now, allegiance to humanity and innocence has forced us to relay this message to the people of New York City. This message is to those who are currently denying protesters the liberty to assemble. The NYPD has shown will not be let free. This is our warning. Let the people protest without shame or threat. Let the people protest with expression and freedom. Learn from history. Learn about what's happened to the police force in Egypt when they disregarded human rights. Their end was the people's beginning. Their failure was their end. If you wish to have the NYPD force alive as a whole, and this is metaphorically speaking, then stay away from the protesters. If not, then your fate will be the same as the fate of the police force in Egypt. We, as it is our duty to uphold the freedoms of the people, will constitute a declaration of war against the NYPD if the brutality does not stop. If we hear of brutality within the next 36 hours, then we will take you down from the internet, as you have taken the protesters' voices from the airwaves. We are anonymous. We are legion. We will not forgive. We will never forget. Expect us. Always.
That's kind of weird, well.
Well,
and
people have the right to demonstrate. And it's the corporations that are funding the brutality.
But that could be construed as a terrorist threat.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm kind of like surprised. But that is still on YouTube, hasn't been taken down. So you gotta kind of wonder who anonymous,
and why are they doing that? Are they trying to incite trouble?
I don't know. They're trying to stop it, I guess. Anyway, this was really cool. I'm gonna spend a few minutes on this one because this one was really good. It was Occupy Victoria, British Columbia, and. John St. John, Truth for Occupy British Columbia. And when you hear it, I want you to hear this guy's speech, all right?
Mm-hmm.
When you do, you'll be inspired. He was the chauffeur to the royals, all right? And he's saying that...
Which royals?
The Queen, Queen of England, and other one percenters.
Oh.
And he's very good. He's very good. So listen to this. He says he wants the Queen out.
Okay. I'm the guy, sorry, you mentioned nightmare.
Yeah.
I even have to have my own police force. Okay. I was very pleased to hear earlier that the police are behaving themselves today. Because really, guys, we are the people you should be supporting and protecting. Because we're the ones that grow your food. We're the ones that look after you when you're sick. We're the ones that teach your children. We're the ones that love you. We're the ones that pay your wages. Not these bunch of nerds and bozos that you're protecting. They are not worthy of your protection. As I said in the sign in front of me now, join the dots and a picture appears. Smart meters, aspartame, fluoride, chemtrails, forced vaccinations, GMO foods, chemical food additives, school and hospital cutbacks, suppressed health care, greedy oil corporations, insane pharmaceutical corporations, suppressed technology, hidden alternative energy, billion-dollar bailouts and corrupt politicians. And guess what? We're still here.
Yeah.
They're doing the best to destroy us, but they cannot do it. They are scared to death of us. I used to be a chauffeur to the World's Elite Correct. I've driven Mulrooney, I've driven Cretchen, I've driven Conrad Black, and I've driven Prince Charles's entourage and royalty and all the leading lot of them. And I can tell you they're scared of us. They're scared that this day will come that we will wake up, because we have some of these bozos a million to one. Those of you who have heard of the Bilderbergers might have heard the fact when Prince Philip actually said that he wants to get rid of 85% of the population. He said that if it doesn't happen in his lifetime, he wants to come back as a virus and do the job himself. He wants to get rid of these he called useless food eaters. Well, I'm telling you firsthand, they're the bloody useless food eaters. They couldn't put a nail in a piece of wood or fry an egg to save their life. We're the ones that built this world. We built everything, the buildings, their cars, their designer clothes. We grow their food. Who the hell do they think they are to get rid of us? Without us, they'd be nothing. Yeah. Anyway, I want to just be here to just support you all and tell you we've got to come together. As he says, people united will never be divided. They are scared of us, and this is a fantastic day for history. And I said, what we've got to do is basically to stop treating these people as heroes. They are not heroes. We are the heroes. The police, the firemen that go out, the firemen who work for absolutely nothing and risk their lives. And then you get a hockey player and these bozos in Parliament getting millions of dollars for just talking. No way. The end is here.
Beginning is here.
And one other thing. All you out there, you police officers and politicians, supporting this queen of yours. Do you know how much the queen is worth? £17 trillion. That's $30 trillion. She could end world hunger and poverty tomorrow. Instead, she just sits in her ivory tower and laughs at us. This is coming to an end. Anyway, I've got to go. How are those people falling?
This is just the beginning. Victoria, British Columbia. So they're occupying Wall Street there too, and it's really really bad news everywhere. So it's really good. I've got one more that I gotta play. You know, tonight. It's so well worth hearing, and it's going around on the internet like crazy. But you got to hear this, because it's not often that you hear an MSNBC reporter or anybody tell it like it really is. So let's go to this guy. This is Dylan Radigan.
Oh, he must had a lapse or something, huh?
Yeah, he's really related to them on this one. Occupy Wall Street.
One demand. You need to focus on one demand, on the core of the problem. This is it.
talk about plans to deal with this till 2017. I'm saying we've got a real problem, and I'm tired of Republicans and Democrats who either want Republicans who want to burn the place to the ground, and Democrats, with all due respect, who want to offer a plan that gets it through the their end of their second term of their presidency, and then screws me and my kids when it's over. And until we do that, we have to deal with the extraction that is at foot. It is the reason the financial markets are behaving the way they're behaving. That is a mathematical fact. This is not some opinion. This is a mathematical fact. Tens of trillions of dollars are being extracted from the United States of America. Democrats aren't doing it. Republicans are not doing it. An entire integrated system, financial system, trading system, taxing system that was created by both parties over a period of 2 decades is at work on our entire country right now. And we're sitting here arguing about whether we should do the $4 trillion plan that kicks the can down the road for the president for 2017 or burn the place to the ground, both of which are reckless, irresponsible, and stupid. I've been coming on TV for 3 years doing this. And the fact of the matter is that there's a refusal on both the Democratic and the Republican side of the aisle to acknowledge the mathematical problem, which is that the United States of America is being extracted. It's being extracted through banking, it's being extracted through trade, and it's being extracted through taxation.
Like
to go to the people of the United States of America and say, people of the United States of America, your Congress is bought. Your Congress is incapable of making legislation on health care, banking, trade, or taxes, because if they do it, they will lose their political funding and they won't do it. But I'm the President of the United States, and I will have a country that is run by a bought Congress. So I'm not going to work with a bought Congress and try to be Mr. Big Guy and work with the bought Congress. I'm going to abandon the bought Congress like Teddy Roosevelt did, and I'm going to go to the people of the United States and I'm going to say, you've got a bought Congress. And until we get rid of the bought Congress, which is Jimmy Williams' constant point, which is get the money out of politics, and until a president says that's the problem and says he's going to fix it, there is no policy that I can possibly see, no matter how brilliant your idea may be, or your idea, or my idea, or her idea, or your idea at home. That idea will not happen as long as there is the capacity to basically fire a politician who disagrees with me by taking funding away from me. Is that a fair assessment?
Money, politics, is the root of all political evil. It is corruption at its worst. And until we step up and kick that out of the park, it's going to be the same system.
Because when you realize that the banking system is fully corrupt and defrauding us, and I come out and say that, which is what I want my president to do, that at that exact moment I said, you know what, we got a screwed up situation here, people. You all know it, and now what? I'm going to admit it. And as a result, not only have I admitted it, but we're going to begin the process of solving it. My grown-ups, they did it in World War II, they did it after the Civil War, they did it in Latin America with the Brady Bonds.
Together, we are too big to fail.
99%.
Yep.
Oh, that was Dylan Radigan.
And he's right. You need a president who can step up to the plate, and Obama can't do it. He's probably afraid of being assassinated.
Yeah.
Well, I don't blame him. I'd be afraid, too. I wouldn't have run for president in the first place.
No.
I'm not strong enough. You have to have a very strong person. You need a leader, not a follower, and Obama is a created entity who's a follower.
Yep. Sure is. The next thing I wanted to play was how strange this is that the sushi platter that tells you if your dinner is radioactive.
What?
This is from the Daily Mail.
Oh, this is if you're eating in Japan?
If you're eating in Japan, it tells you if your sushi is radioactive or whatever food you're eating.
The LED-equipped sushi platter.
Yeah, that tells you if your dinner is radioactive. The Fukushima plant is tableware. This Fukushima plant is tableware with its own built-in safety mechanism. Underneath the plate is a radiation meter that logs whether your sushi has absorbed too much seaborne radiation from the Fukushima disaster earlier this year. You set your own preferred levels of radioactivity. Then glowing rings around the outside of the plate light up to warn you if your fish is toxic.
Oh, great.
Imagine that? Yeah. If none of the LED circles around the outside of the plate light up, your sushi isn't radioactive at all. If just one or two rings light up, there's a radioactive contamination, but below the level you specified is dangerous. You specify it. What's dangerous? Yeah, they know. Oh, my God. Yeah, you got to check this out. I got to post it on my Facebook account.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Unbelievable.
If the outer red light ring lights up, then you should seriously consider whether you're actually that hungry.
Yeah.
The Fukushima plate is the ordinary kitchen plate with built-in radioactive meter to visualize your food level of contamination. It might become an indispensable tool of survival in the future, says its designer. To tell you, the plate tells you if you can eat this stuff or not. His design notes for the plate...
You can remove it and put it in the dishwasher.
Yeah, specifically that you can remove the radiation meter before putting the plate in the dishwasher. Oh, I see. It's something you put on. And Ferber's concept design, he says, designed for a world where safety is a luxury. The German designer unveiled a concept plan on the website this year. I studied design because I believe in its potential to alter reality, says Ferber. By presenting a design concept to someone, you always show how things could be. After the Fukushima disaster earlier this year, some fish were detected with high levels of radiation off the Japanese coast. There have been reports of shoppers in Tokyo bringing Geiger counters in with to the grocers, and imported fish became more popular in the wake of the disaster. However, Ferber's imagine future where radiation in food is a widespread problem is yet to materialize. Now it's there already. We know it, and those fish are lighting up. They're glowing in the dark. So, thought I'd let you know.
Okay.
About that one. And,
Kind of dulls my appetite for fish.
For fish, huh? Yeah, me too. But, let's see if there's something I missed here. Oh, I wanted to, I got another quickie that I really thought was good. We'll go right to that in a second. Here somewhere. Hang on one second. I just saw it.
What is it that you're looking for? Yeah?
I'm looking for this short video on Russian TV. And
Euroclass.
Yeah, this is excellent. It's only 2 minutes long, but it's the guy really pretty much tells you what's happening in Europe. This is kind of a follow up to the Merkel circuit. See what happened today.
Against holding a referendum on leaving the European Union. A petition of over 100,000 signatures from the public had called for the debate. The government earlier ordered its MPs to vote against the motion or face penalties. Despite this, dozens of David Cameron's party members defy the order in what's been the biggest internal challenge he's faced as Prime Minister. But John Gons from the Vote UK out of the EU campaign says Britain never signed up for what the EU turned out to be.
We've got a disgusting attack on democracy in the home, the mother of all parliaments, where these MPs are not voting with their conscience or with their constituents' opinions. They're voting the way their leaders tell them to, because if they don't, they'll get the sack. That isn't democracy. It's an absolute disgrace. I don't actually think we need to be part of a political soup state. No one signed up. I'm 50, so anybody under the age of 54 hasn't had a vote on this. And certainly my dad, when he voted for a common market, he didn't vote for the United States of Europe. That's what British people are upset about. There's a disconnect between the political elite in our great country and the people. The political elite in Westminster might try and stop us, but eventually we will get our referendum. referendum and we will get out of the EU. And let me tell you, it's not our problem to sort out the problems in Greece. And tell me why we should work to the age of 72 or 73 to pay for Stavros, who lives in downtown Athens, to retire at 50. We shouldn't, we're not going to, it's the end. This Eurostate is collapsing as we speak.
Yeah. You know who they'll turn to bail them out?
Us.
Yeah.
We're not going to do it. We can't do it.
No, I hope you're right.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous if we try.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to... They retire at 50 and you work to 72 or 82 or 102 and they're living high on the hog.
I don't think so. Yeah.
That's why the Germans won't bail them out.
That's right. And the French don't want to.
Sarkozy wants to.
It's a real big mess. Yeah, but Sarkozy's, they want, the French want out of the whole thing. They want out of the EU altogether. So, now, if they sign shit that keeps them in the EU, there's going to be a mass revolt in all those countries.
Yeah. Britain, the British people never wanted to join in the first place.
I know. But the absurdity is, it's like that guy said, why should everybody in the world work till they're in their 70s, when these assholes in Greece
retire at 50.
Fuck you, Greece. Get off your ass.
22 yeah. years more of work?
Yeah, screw that. To pay for you?
I don't think so, pal.
Yeah, get out there. Suck some grapes. Let's see.
Or everybody should retire at 50.
Yeah, one or the other. Yeah. Okay. Oh, this one. Italian government at collapse, at risk of collapse.
The Italian government is at risk of collapsing after Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi warns the media.
Center disputed pension reforms. The Financial Times report.
Yeah, the country's Northern League is threatened to pull out of Berlusconi's center-right coalition government over disputed pension reforms, the Financial Times reported. Recent statements suggest that Umberto Bossi, the head of Italy's Northern League, could pull out of Berlusconi's government coalition if his cabinet does not reach an agreement on economic measures. Bossi rejected proposals to increase Italy's pension age to 67 and warned that a crisis may be looming ahead for the country's government if a deal is not reached soon. Bossi's possible departure could pave the way for an interim government which may be capable of easily pushing through economic measures. Berlusconi has been under increasing pressure to reform the country's pension age ahead of a key European summit planned on Wednesday. Earlier on Monday, Berlusconi called for an emergency cabinet meeting after EU leaders pressured him to restrain Italy's debt in order to stop a Eurozone debt contagion. EU members say they will not buy Italian bonds, which are necessary to refinance the country's public debt unless the retirement age is increased. Rome has been pressured to implement economic reforms and budget cuts to reassure investors worried about the country's huge debt ratio that is second only to Greece. There is growing fear among EU leaders that Italy could be sucked into a crisis that has already claimed Greece, Ireland, and Portugal. Rome is facing a nearly 2 trillion euro debt that is 120% of its gross domestic product.
They're bankrupt. Anyway, just thought I'd let you know.
Former state bank.
Yeah.
The silly thing is, all you have to do is erase it all.
Erase what all?
All your debt.
That's it.
Inform your own bank and you're done and you're okay.
Oh, absolutely.
You notice they never talk about Iceland. They refuse to pay a bailout and they're doing just fine. They refuse to bail out the stupid bankers.
All right. This is kind of interesting, I thought. Police brutality charges sweep across the U.S. From Naomi Wolf's arrest in New York to shooting in Tucson, in Florida, forces face allegation of abuse of power. I guess she must be an actress, Naomi Wolf. I don't know what she plays in.
An author. Her own life to produce bestsellers has been arrested over the Wall Street protests, and this is a new departure into genuine activism or yet more self-publicity. I don't know.
Whatever. But on the other hand, Officer Mike DeDragetta had no idea that the FBI was listening to his phone calls. Otherwise, he would probably not have described his arrest and detention of an innocent black New Yorker in the manner he did. Derogati boasted to a woman friend that while on the patrol in Staten Island, he had fried another nigger. It was no big deal, he added. The FBI, which had been investigating other matters, then tried to work out what had happened. According to a court documents released in New York, Derogati and his partner had randomly stopped and frisked a black man who had become angry and asked for DeGal's name and badge number. Derogati, 32, and his 8 years on the force had no reason to stop the man and had found nothing illegal, but he arrested him and fabricated an account of him resisting arrest. And the man now referred to in papers only as John Doe, but because of fears of his safety, spent 2 nights in jail, and he had barely been walking alone through the neighborhood. And there are many, 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 many stories go on and on and on this, but it's getting out of hand everywhere. In Florida-based police complaint center investigated allegations of police abuse. Police are now facing an onslaught of scrutiny because everyone has a cell phone, and everyone can tap into the cell phones, into the police cell phones. So, interesting, I thought.
Yep.
Oh, let's see if there's something else. We only got about 10 minutes left.
There must be some audio that's pretty good. There's a lot of audio on this.
Yep. Not just stuff here.
Move Your Money. What is that?
It's not good. But it's a take on It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, okay.
Greek public transport goes on strike.
It doesn't matter.
What's that?
That doesn't matter. They're not going to get paid.
Doesn't matter anyway. Yeah.
Sort of like a moot point, isn't it?
They're
out of their mind.
They're fighting back, so it's just going to hurt them because they're, Greek public transport workers have taken part in a nationwide 24-hour strike in protest against the government's plans to cut public sector jobs and wages. Metro bus and tram services were halted as a result of Tuesday's walkout, leading to heavy traffic jams, the Wall Street Journal reported.
Traffic police were sent to regulate the increasing traffic in the early hours of the day as people were trying to get to work. The strike follows the approval of the country's unpopular austerity measures by its government days ago. Greece is struggling to reduce its huge government debt in fears of a possible default that may set off a Eurozone crisis. Since last year, the European Union and the International Monetary Fund provided Greece with two rescue packages worth over $380 billion in return for tough austerity measures. The measures, which include cuts to public sector salaries and pensions, tax increases, and an overhaul of the pension system, has sparked nationwide protests in Greece. Greece must persuade both the EU and the IMF that it's making sufficient financial reforms. Otherwise, it will not receive the next $11 billion of bailout loans and will go bankrupt within weeks.
So there you go, Greece.
They don't have a choice. They can either accept it or not.
Sorry.
And they have a better plan. They shouldn't have taken it in the first place.
We get some interesting stuff coming up. I'm hoping that you join Lila and myself and George Dixon on Friday, which is the October 28th show, which is the exact day end of the Mayan calendar, all right, not 2012. This is the day, October 28th is the day of unity consciousness. So we're definitely going to have that show and preparing some special stuff for you. And I hope you join us with that. You know, I thought I had enough stuff, but I guess I didn't.
No.
I thought I had enough stuff to go with that.
Yes, ma'am. Nathan Rothschild.
Yeah.
So we have 10 minutes.
Yeah. Science of Revolution. Feeding Wall Street banks and the
Federal Reserve. Oh, I read that.
Read this?
Yeah, that's nothing. Just it's not.
Oh, okay.
Money, money, money. The undercover hippie.
Yeah, it's kind of a cartoon, though, so you get it.
Yeah, you have to be able to see it visually.
Yeah, it's more fun that way.
An anthem for Occupy Wall Street?
I guess. Want to hear it up?
Yeah, I'd like to see what they have to say.
It's an anthem for Occupy Wall Street. It must be a song.
Bob Dylan, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Certainly patted himself after that.
Bill Hicks, I think, that said the name was there. I'm not sure. Anyway, it's pretty good. Pretty good. Okay.
And what's this one?
Three people. I don't know. Fox News, they say Checkpoint, the most brilliant thing ever.
Let's see what that is. back in anger?
Yeah.
Corporatism is not capitalism. This is for Before It's News. Seven things about the monolithic predator corporations that dominate our economy that every American should know.
Right now, there's a lot of talk about evils of capitalism. But it's not really accurate to say that we all live in a capitalist system. Rather, what we have in the United States today and what most of the world is living under is much more accurately described as corporatism. Under corporatism, most wealth and power is concentrated in the hands of giant corporations, and big government is used as a tool by these corporations to consolidate power and wealth even further. In a corporatist system, the wealth and power of individuals and small businesses is dwarfed by the overwhelming dominance of the corporations. Inevitably, the dominate nearly all aspects of society. As you see below, the very accurately describes the United States of America. Corporatism is killing this country,
mm-hmm.
and it is not what our founding fathers intended. And the following definition of corporatism from a Webster Dictionary. The organization of a society into industrial and professional corporations serving as organs of political representation and exercising control over persons and activities within their jurisdiction.
Hmm.
That's what we have today. And it's now 9 o'clock, so we've dropped our stream, but I'm going to just say what these are. The seven things is, number one, corporations not only completely dominate U.S.'s economy, they also completely dominate the global economy as well. And a newly released study from Zurich examined more than 43,000 major and multinational corporations.
Yeah.
The study discovered a vast web of interlocking ownerships that is controlled by a core of 1,318 giant corporations on all of them.
That's not a surprise, though, is it?
No. But the core itself is controlled by a super entity of 147 monolithic corporations that are very, very tightly knit. And as a recent article in New Scientist noted, these 147 corporations control approximately 40% of all the wealth in the entire network. And number two, the dominance of global economy by corporations has allowed global wealth to become concentrated to a very frightening degree. And third, since wealth has become concentrated in a few hands, that means that there are a whole lot of poor people out there.
Yeah.
And number four, corporations have...
More than 3 billion people currently live on less than $2 a day.
Where's that? Oh, okay.
While
yeah.
the ultra-wealthy live in high life, unimaginable tragedies play out all over the globe every single day. Every 3.6 seconds, someone starves to death, and three-quarters of them are children under the age of 5.
God. And giant number four, giant corporations have become so dominant that it has become very hard for small businesses to compete and survive in the United States.
Yeah, well, they've crushed them out.
Yeah, Walmart. And number five, big corporations... I just read that. Number six, big corporations completely dominate our financial system. Yes, there are hundreds of choices in the financial world, but just a handful control the vast majority of assets. And do you want to read number seven?
Big corporations completely dominate our political system because they have so much wealth and power. Corporations can exert an overwhelming amount of influence over the election. Studies have shown that in federal elections, the candidate that raises the most money wins about 90% of the time. Politics in America is not about winning over the hearts and minds. It's about who can raise the most cash.
Yeah. And they quote that Dylan Radigan, so that's
pretty sad.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. And that's kind of the end of our show tonight. And we'd like to thank you for joining us. And we hope you'll join us again tomorrow night when we'll be talking. I'll be introducing some aspects of the Mayan calendar to you on the 28th, for the 28th, to build up to tomorrow's show.
The Friday show.
The Friday show, rather, I'm sorry. And hopefully that'll be, hopefully you'll join us then.
And good night, folks, and enjoy some of the last days of this Mayan calendar.
And the fall.
Yeah.
Good night. Close out here with a decent song, but for some reason they're not. Oh.